So everybody is talking 100 miles a minute in Arabic, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm here for it. And then we all get in the car, and we're going, and then we get to, like, this dark alley, and I still don't know what's going on.
And I'm aren't just, you, like, terrified?
I was kind of along for the ride. Sorry, Mom.
Hey friends, today I'm chatting with Allie Jordy, who is a videographer, a photographer, and a college student who's actually about to graduate and make the big move to the Dominican Republic. Allie has been over to 20 countries, so we talk about traveling on a budget and how to do your research when going to international destinations. We also chat about how she got into photography and videography and her advice for aspiring creatives. And then I just have to tell you how I know Allie, because it's such a funny story. So one of my best friends, Carissa, her husband is Kirk, and Kirk's business partner is Greg. Greg is married to a woman named Bree, and Bree is Allie's sister. Did you follow that? We got connected because I needed a video done for my business, and Carissa mentioned to me that 2 days before her wedding, her and Kirk decided that they wanted a videographer, and so Allie was able to come do it like super last minute, and she did an amazing job. So then when I was shooting my video with Allie, I got the chance to chat with her about her travels and her background, and so I just wanted to share those conversations with you by inviting her on today. I hope you enjoy it. Allie, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited. I want to start with your senior year of high school. I know that you moved away from your hometown and that it was like a super big year for you. So could you give me some context as to like why you decided to move and then maybe dive into like what made that year so significant?
Right. Okay. So I was raised in Queen Creek, Arizona, which I lived there for 17 years of my life. And when I first moved there, it was population 2000. Tiny farm town. My dad is a third generation farmer, so agriculture is kind of in our veins per se. And I grew up in that town knowing everyone. Everybody knew our family. We all went to church together. We all went to school together. People that I went to preschool together, I was in my junior year of high school with. It was super familiar and normal, and I loved it. I mean, I was super active in high school and involved in everything, literally everything. I think I joined every club once. And it was just really familiar. And then my junior year of high school, I met a boy. And he was not right for me. He didn't make me the person that I wanted nor needed to be. And people around me recognized that. And I kind of like slipped out of my own person into this unrecognizable kind of shell of a human. And people were worried about me. And I mean, I was 17. So it was like wild, my first love, right. Like the Notebook style type thing. Like my parents didn't like him, but I was enamored. And it was so cliche, but just not right for me in a sense. And so it was a lot of different events that kind of led up to it. But eventually my parents had had enough. I was getting in trouble in school, which was so unlikely for me. I used to be honors and straight A's and involved in everything. And I definitely knew it myself that nothing I was doing in that time of my life, granted I was 17, like I was a wild little 17-year-old. But even at 17, I was self-aware enough to know like, hey, this isn't who I want to be.
Right.
This isn't how I really see my trajectory of life going. And yeah, eventually I got in trouble on a school trip with one of my best friends, and then I kept getting in trouble with this boys, and eventually my parents were like, that's it, we're moving. And so my mom was from Cave Creek, Arizona. She was raised there, and Cave Creek is about an hour and a half away from Queen Creek. It's two creeks in Arizona. And she had always wanted to move back there. And so when I kept getting in trouble, I basically expedited the process of them moving back to Cave Creek. So we got a house in way northern Scottsdale where it was like desert. And my parents, a week before I was going to start my senior year of high school in this place that I had grown up in, they're like, yeah, you're moving and you're going to start your life over, essentially.
Wow.
And at the time, I thought my world was ending. Literally didn't know what to do with myself. I was losing all of my friends. I was going into something so unfamiliar for me. And for me, that was so different because I had been in this place. I had never moved growing up. I moved to Arizona when I was 2 years old and had been in Queen Creek my entire time I was in school. So everything was so unfamiliar and unknown. And it was a really hard time in my life because I had never felt that alone before. And I had no cell phone, no social media. I was fully off the grid. And I basically just disappeared. People didn't know where I went. And meanwhile, I was up in Cave Creek. And Cave Creek is a really beautiful place in Arizona because there's a ton of nature. There's a gorgeous creek that you can walk around. My mom literally used to ride her horse to school.
Oh, my gosh.
And then when she would get to school, she would let her horse go. And her horse would run home.
That's amazing. So it was like out of a movie.
Yeah, it was the Wild West.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. And it still kind of is that way. Granted, it's a lot more kind of touristy and obviously developed now. But it still kind of has that just, like, emptiness, vastness, and you're in the Wild West. And so I moved up there. And every single day, there's this creek walk in Spurcross Conservation Area that... Every single day after school, I got out of school at like 1, I would go walk that creek every day. And I would go swim in the watering hole that was at the end of the trail. And I would journal every day and I would read every day because I was so lost. I needed something to kind of ground me and have that routine. And so every day I would go out there and eventually things got better. And so I started meeting a couple people at my new school. I think I graduated with approximately 5 friends. I still stayed a recluse that year because I was like, this is my senior year. I'm leaving anyways.
Right.
But I made some really amazing friends that year. And that's actually kind of when I got into photography because I would walk on this creek every day. And my sister, who you know, is a professional photographer as well. And so she had old cameras that she would always give me.
That's
and
awesome.
I had one of these. And I used to just go out to the creek. And me and one of my best friends, Erin, would just go photograph each other. We would take walks. We would just mess around and have fun. And yeah. I always had my camera with me. And
that's
so,
awesome.
Yeah, I kind of started taking photos then. And then it was senior year that I really came into myself. People that knew me from Queen Creek and then saw me later after I had lived in Scottsdale were like, you did a 180. Like, I completely changed a lot of the ways that I see the world and how I think and how I kind of conceptualize life in a sense.
Sure.
And I just changed. And it was the best change of my life. That was when me and my sister have always been close. But senior year, it was like I recognized that she was one of my soulmates in the world. Like,
yeah.
She is my gal. And I just spent a lot of time with myself, which I think young people were so invested in, you know, being at every party and being seen. And I mean, when you're young, you're not like, oh, I need to work on myself identity,
right?
And really work on my self growth.
Yeah.
But I was kind of forced into that because I really had to get to know myself. And I cannot imagine what my life would look like now if I hadn't moved at 17. And if I hadn't made all those mistakes, I wouldn't be where I am today, where now I'm super self-aware. Even at 22, like, I know myself and I know who I am. And I really do attribute it to having my life kind of shifted around then. And I became so close with my family and I learned more about my sister and, like, heard about all of her travels. And it was through her that I started getting into traveling. I remember right as I turned 18, I booked my first solo trip to go to Fiji for a month and just live on a tiny island.
That's awesome.
My parents were like, okay, you can go. And they were laughing because we were talking about it a couple days ago. And like one of my first trips, they were like, all right, you know, if you need to come home, we will buy your ticket back. We will get you out of there. Now I leave for a trip and they're like, toodles.
See ya.
See ya, wanna see ya. Like, now they're just used to it. But that first one, they're like, what is she doing?
That's so funny. I remember the first time I went to Mexico without my parents, which is, you know, like, Mexico's really not that far. It's not Fiji.
Amazing.
But I remember it was for spring break in college and my parents were like, if you want to come home, we will come get you.
Exactly.
Like, don't hesitate.
Yeah, your parents so are funny. Like, we have your
right.
back. Now my parents are just like, where are you going?
Right.
All right.
And now I'll cool. go places and, like, send them a picture. Yeah. I'm like, look where I am. And they're like, that's cool. We had no idea.
Yeah. I actually started an Instagram when I really started traveling. It's called Hey Mom, I'm Alive.
I saw that. Oh my gosh. When I was doing my quote-unquote research for this interview, I saw that.
Yeah, and it really it
so
is just like
funny.
A joke. I made it for my mom because she was like, I literally never know where you are, what you're doing. And I'm like, I send you guys group texts. You just don't read it. So I made a little Instagram and I just post whatever I'm doing. It's very unfiltered.
That's
and just,
awesome.
Yeah, it's like a little memory book.
Hey, Mom. Yeah. That's so cute. That's awesome. Well, there's so many things in that response that I'm going to, rather than go chronologically, I'm going to kind of pick them out because I want to make sure we touch on a few different things. I love that you really came into photography through just kind of like naturally wanting to take pictures. Like, I think that's super cool. And I'm really inspired by the fact that you took the alone time to read and journal. And because I think that, you know, now as we're getting more into a space where self-care and personal growth is a little bit more commonplace and we're talking about it more, I think that people are realizing that they need to be doing those things. Mm-hmm. But several years ago, or as a 17-year-old, or even a lot of adults now are struggling with something and they don't think about looking inward. Mm-hmm. They look towards drugs or alcohol or social situations or friends, or they just go to sleep. Whereas you kind of were like, okay, what if I turned inward? Which I think is super cool. Yeah. Is that something that your sister does or your parents do? Are they into kind of reflection and routines like that?
Yeah. So my sister is basically my role model in every aspect of life, Hybrid. And she's always been self-aware as well. And so we have a 12-year age difference. So growing up, basically whatever Brie was doing, I was like, I need to be doing that. Like, she's cool. I need to be doing that. Like, literally the first reason I got my first camera was because when I was 8, I think she asked for a DSLR and she was 20. I was 8. And my parents were like, you think you're getting a DSLR? So she got the nice camera and I got a little point and shoot, but I still would just like photograph everything going around. But yeah, she's always been really aware that you need to just take a step back and listen to yourself. And I feel like my whole family, we're all very independent and very different. And even when we're together, we all still have very unique personalities and they all go together really well. But we all do take time for ourselves. I think we're all so independent that Brie, she never really drinks, so she's always very present. And I've always admired that about her. And my brothers are so smart and they're cripplingly self-aware too. And they'll always take the time too if they need to, whether it's mountain biking or hiking. All of us know when we've kind of hit our edge and we all know that we need to turn to something that we like. Yeah. My mom has rode horses before she could walk. And so that's always been her escape. And I think mine has always been, I love to journal and then I love to create if I need that space. So it's always been like, I'll go make a video of something, or I'll go write, or just sit alone and read a book. So I definitely think that I've been influenced by my family in that sense to recognize when you need to take a step back and do so before you push yourself too far.
Right.
And I think it's definitely kind of shaped how I make those decisions personally.
Definitely. Yeah. That's so cool. How would you talk, or I'm curious what your thoughts are on moving from photography as a hobby to a career. Because I think that there's a lot of people that are kind of in that middle ground of enjoying something, but not sure like what that, and I don't really love the like word leap because I think it sounds irresponsible, but you know, just the kind of that middle ground of doing it for fun to doing it where you're taking money, where you're actually getting better, where you're investing in yourself. What did that look like for you?
It kind of happened really naturally, actually. I was always taking photos of my friends. Even in middle school, if we had a sleepover, I was like, don't worry, guys, I have this point and shoot. This will be documented. Feather boa is a flying. And then it just kind of turned in high school. I started photographing more of my friends with the old cameras that my sister would give me. And eventually, some people just reached out and were like, hey, do you do photos? And I was like, I think I do. I guess I do now. And I just started charging. I think my first shoot, I charged $15.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And just build your resume. You know, keep doing it as you're learning. Because every time you shoot, all you need to do is pick up your camera and go learn something.
Yeah.
Shoot in different lighting. Shoot different people. Shoot in different areas. Just keep taking photos and you will get better. And I mean, there's so many free resources on the internet. I was lucky enough to have my sister that I could always ask questions, which was so lucky. But she was self-taught. I mean, you can ask people for help. Go follow a professional photographer and be a second shooter. And that's kind of how I moved into professional photography, is I started with friends and doing these mini sessions. And then my sister asked me to be a second shooter for her at weddings. And it was just fun. I think it's really important to keep photography fun. I mean, if it's your job, you want to love it.
Yeah.
And so do like your passion projects. Like my favorite is always lifestyle or travel photography. So when I get to do that, I love it. And then also do the things where you can make enough money to start investing in yourself. You don't need the nicest camera to start. Start with a little Rebel or a little DSLR and then work your way up and buy them used. You don't need a brand new camera.
Totally.
Yeah, there's so many resources that you can find more economic ways to kind of get into it. And yeah, just build your portfolio and then make sure you stay true enough to your style that you're going to attract the clients that you want. You don't want to be shooting in a style because you think it's trendy or whatever, because that's not really how you want to see photos and you're not going to attract the clientele that you want. So just stay true to yourself and don't be bogged down with how many different kinds of cameras there are. You can go ask someone and they will point you in the right direction.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know my DSLR I got on Facebook Marketplace for like $125 bucks, and I love it. It takes great pictures.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm doing it professionally, but it's just a cool way to kind of get your foot in the door and something to do for fun.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that people have the ability to capture. I mean, film has always been around and it was a lot more technical, and now we have these ways to document anything that's going on in our life.
Yeah.
Like moms document their kids growing up now on like a nice camera. It's really beautiful. I also love being able to give my friends a gift that's not a material thing.
Yeah.
But to be able to be like, hey, do you want to go do a session for your birthday? Or do you want like graduation pictures done? And be able to give them something that they're going to have. And totally. I always love seeing like my friends have their profile pictures, photos that I've taken, or even strangers. It's just fun seeing your work.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I brought my fancy dancy camera. My brother just moved to Hollywood. He's going to be a screenwriter. And he had a going away party and I brought my camera and was like taking pictures of stuff and I sent it to him afterwards. And I was like, how cool. Like he only moves to LA once.
Yeah.
Like, and we have all these pictures of like, my mom's so cute. The whole theme was like movie popcorn and movie candy and like you're going to the movies. Uh-huh. So it's like, I took pictures of all the decor and all his friends. And I was like, and then when I sent it to him, I had this like very mini feeling of like, how neat. Like I got to document this and he's going to have these forever.
Exactly.
And it's, so I imagine doing that for like a living. Is
yeah. Even just
so
like
cool.
Getting Polaroids where you can have it that instant. Love. They have those big Polaroids
yes.
like they're used to now, and they kind of brought them back. And to be able to take that photo and then have it instantly, like you don't have to go back and edit it.
Yeah.
And it's just a memory, and it's nothing about like, oh, I'm going to post this to Instagram later. Like, it's just a physical
right.
photo for you to have. Like, I have a box in my house of just old Polaroids,
That's
and
awesome.
I love going through them. And it's just any kind of photography, like even if it's an iPhone photo,
yeah,
just take it to have those memories and to remember how you feel in that moment.
I love that.
I love it. Yeah.
That's so good. And so was the transition from photography to videography pretty seamless?
Yeah. So a lot of the bigger camera bodies have the ability to do video. So when I got an old one from my sister that did have video, I was like, oh, this is it. And I think I started doing videography on my trip to India was when I kind of was like, oh, I want to make sure I have footage of this. And yeah, it's super easy to just switch over to those settings. And I feel like videography, I love photography, but videography, I feel like I can express a lot more. And depending on what music you put with it and how you edit it, you can evoke so many emotions out of
totally.
A person through video. I love looking at people's films, even wedding films. I'll sit there and cry at somebody else's wedding that I'm watching online. I'm like, I don't know them, but I'm so happy for them. Like, you just get invested when I think it's just all of those senses kind of coming together. And I just, the only way I can describe videography is dreamy. Like, you can create how you want something to look, but you can also really feel what's being filmed and what's being portrayed. And I think that's a really kind of magical medium of media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so neat. Because it's not just about documenting what you see actually in front of you, but mm-hmm. really trying to elicit the feeling.
Yeah. And you want people to look back on whether it be a wedding video and be like, oh, I remember how happy I was here. And then like, even subliminally, if you put like a happier tune
sure.
to that moment, it's going to like have people dancing
yeah.
around. And, like, you can kind of influence how people feel. And I think that's a really wild thing that
totally
in life, like, it's a very interesting aspect to be able to be like, oh, I want this person to feel happy right here. I want them to feel very like introspective and really kind of looking at their life existentially here. Like, it's just a fun way to kind of mold how you want people to feel in that, watching that video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. Something that I'm curious about, and maybe you don't feel this way at all, but I know when I go to social events or weddings or whatever it is, sometimes there's this internal battle of like, I want to take pictures because I want to document it, but then I'm not nearly as present or invested. Do you ever struggle with that?
All the time.
I'm glad it's not just me.
All the time. Yeah. So when I do feel like that, when I travel, a lot of the time, I like to just keep my phone on airplane mode and then take your camera out, because if you have your camera, you don't have Wi-Fi on that. You can't be texting everyone. You can't be like posting to Snapchat, which I do. But I think that just having your camera, it's also not instant gratification. You're going to take that photo and then you're going to go home and you can look back through all of them and kind of cull which ones you like and edit. I think that makes you a lot more present.
Sure.
Because you're still looking at whatever's happening in front of you through a lens, but you're not instantly posting it to the internet or posting it for your friends to see. And I think it's kind of that lag time that really lets you like, hey, I really enjoy what's happening over here. I'm going to go take a photo of it. And then I'm going to put my camera down and go talk to whoever I just took the photo of.
Right.
I think it's a fine line, and it's really hard for me because, I mean, it's half of my job is to take photos and to take videos, but still being able to take that step back and just enjoy it. Like, I'm always doing social media breaks where I erase everything all the time. Probably once a month, I'm like, I'm done with this. And I erase everything off of my phone, and then a week later, I'm like, oh, wait, that's how I get clients.
Oh, wait. That's how I showcase all the awesome things I'm taking.
That's my job. But it's really just finding that balance. Like, if you do feel like you're spending too much time photographing and not being present, put it down altogether.
Yeah.
Somebody else will take a photo of whatever moment you're seeing, and everyone will be fine.
Yeah. That's so good. Or even leaving your phone on airplane mode and shooting, you know, so that maybe you don't feel quite as, if you don't have a camera, so that you don't feel quite as pulled, posted immediately. And because I think there is a fine balance of wanting to be able to remember the moment through your actual experience and not just the pictures, but also wanting to document it.
Yeah. And when you look back on those photos, you can feel
kind of
that moment, in a sense. When I look back on old photos from trips, I'm like, oh, I remember exactly what we were doing that day.
Right.
I remember the weather. I remember we like got stuck in a monsoon. And it's fun to be able to have that. But I do think that it should be for you.
Right.
Don't be taking those photos for someone else.
Totally.
Take it for you.
We went out I went to Vegas a little bit, I don't know, maybe a month and a half ago. One of my best friends, it was her bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I like gave one of my other friends my phone, and then I didn't get it until we went back to the hotel that night. And I was like, how cool that I like didn't get my phone out the whole night. And like, yeah, I don't have like selfies of us, but like,
isn't that
I had so much
how
fun.
Much fun you were having.
Right.
You didn't feel the need to be like,
totally.
Oh, I need a photo of this. Like you were just enjoying the moment.
Didn't need to take pictures. Didn't need to like check my whatever. Like just so present. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to miss those photos at all.
Yeah.
And other people took pictures, like
exactly.
you said. So
yeah. And I mean like moments like that too, if you don't have a photo, write it down in a journal.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happened. It was wild. And it was the best night of my life.
Yeah.
And just document it in a different form. It doesn't have to be right
point.
Then.
Yeah. I heard this really cool. I was listening to this podcast on time, and this girl was talking about how to like maximize your time, and everybody always feels like there's not enough time. And she said something that you can do that like stretches your time is when you have a really amazing experience to write it down as if you're explaining it to somebody. She was like, that like detail solidifies it like in your brain so that you can like call back to it easier.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, she went on this whole thing, and I'll find the podcast and link it so that people can listen to it, because it was super good. But she talked about how, you know, our memories just like recycle so fast that if we take the time to document things as if we were explaining it to somebody, that it like solidifies it and then makes it easier to recall later.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which is super cool. So then it makes it feel like not as far away.
Yeah.
So it was just all these things. It was super cool.
Yeah. I think I do that in a sense. Like when I do write, if I'm on a trip, I still have all my journals. They're adding up and I don't know what to do with them anymore, but I can look back to a page and read how I wrote it and remember how I feel. And I think that's such a cool memory to have, and be able to evoke those emotions out of yourself is really fascinating.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, speaking of travel, so we'll get into that. How many places, countries, however you want to quantify it, have you been to?
I think
Nobody will know if you're wrong.
Lies to everyone. I think I hit 23 countries this year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
It's been fun.
So I know this probably sounds like a silly question, especially because it's probably going to highlight that I don't travel very often, but I think the listeners might be interested. How do you do that? How do you travel so often without it being incredibly expensive?
Mm-hmm. Hostels first and foremost.
Yeah.
I think it's a really fun part about traveling because you're going to meet the most interesting people. You don't need to stay in a nice hotel. Honestly, I think hotels are the biggest waste of money when you travel. You're only going to sleep there.
Right. You're not going to, like, hang out there.
Even if it's a good night, you're probably not going to sleep a lot. So what's the point on spending a lot of money there? And then just being open to going to different places. Maybe you really wanted to do Europe in the summer, but that's going to be more expensive. How about you look at going to Southeast Asia instead, where your dollar will last a lot longer and you're going to have a totally different experience and come back with a perspective that would be a lot different if you went to Europe. You know, it's just looking at it as a way of, oh, this country might not be first on my list, but I could learn a lot from this country and I could come back with really interesting experiences. And just being open to traveling where your budget allows. Sometimes flights are more expensive, but I've gone to places, Egypt, for example, my flight was $800, but in 2 weeks I spent $350.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like food and where you stayed and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's always going to even out in price. Yeah. If you choose these countries where your dollar is going to last a lot longer. I mean, maybe the flight is more expensive to that, but it's going to still probably end up cheaper than if you went to Europe and you did the whole Italy, France kind of tour, because that's going to be expensive.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think just watch for flights. Skyscanner is a really amazing website.
Skyscanner? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It compares all of the flights, and you can even do an option where you put in all of a month that you can travel, and it'll show you the days where it's cheapest to fly.
That's cool.
Yeah. So if I, like, last minute was like, oh, I want to go to Mexico City this weekend, you can look at it and compare prices, and you can just choose. And they kind of, like, put together different airline routes. So it's not just one airline, and that gets your price down a lot more.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then always buy round trip, even if you're only going to go one way, because it's still going to be cheaper.
Oh, round interesting.
Round trip is always cheaper. Yeah.
Wow. And how did you learn this stuff?
Trial and error.
Yeah.
My first trip, it was to Fiji, and that flight is expensive.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, I don't think I could afford a flight to Fiji. Like, if I tried to go again, I'm like, I can't get that. Like, I'm not going to pay that much for a ticket.
Yeah.
And I've been really lucky to meet friends and girlfriends as I've traveled that are also super well traveled, and they know so much. One of my best friends has a travel blog, and she's always posting tips and tricks and how to find the best flight deals. And there's all these email subscriptions that you can sign up for that send you good flights.
Yeah. Oh, I have one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. Scott's flights.
Next Vacay.
Next Vacay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a few different ones. And just be open. If you see a good one, buy it and then figure it out. But I definitely made a lot of travel mistakes my first couple of times. I've done, like, the big Europe trips. And looking back, like, they were amazing and I wouldn't change them. But I could have gone a lot more places with the same amount of money.
Would you say that's been, like, one of the biggest, quote-unquote, mistakes is just not spending your dollars well? Is there anything else that you've done that you're like, oh, now I know?
Yeah, definitely tourist things. Like, I think tours are amazing if you're supporting the local economy and if you're doing, like, an artisan tour of a market or something and putting your dollars towards where they matter. But you can take yourself to the Louvre and you can get one of those audio headsets for way cheaper than hiring a tour to take you through. And it's going to be kind of the same experience.
That's awesome.
So just Googling, too, before you go. There's so many resources on the internet. There's so many amazing travel blogs. Before I went to India, I scoured the internet because India, you can do really inexpensive if you're willing to travel like a local, or you can do it super bougie and spend way more money than you need to. And it's just finding that balance. Like, maybe some days you want to treat yourself and, like, treat yourself in India. I remember one day me and my friend were backpacking. We were like, let's treat ourselves to some air conditioning. And we rented this hotel room right outside of the Taj Mahal, which had a rooftop pool looking at the Taj Mahal for $20 a night. So it was $10 each. And we're like, oh yeah, this was a good splurge. Meanwhile, the other nights we're staying in, like, $2 hostels without air conditioning.
That's
so just
crazy.
Like, finding balance.
Yeah.
You know, if you do, I've been conned so many times before.
No kidding.
And you know what? You have to look at it and be like, they needed that money more than I did, and this is probably serving them a lot more because I would have spent it on a beer or something.
Right.
And just let it go. Travel, you can't really have a plan or else your plans are going to get messed up. Just go with the flow. And, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and it'll probably make a good story.
That's so good. Yeah. And I love that. Just, like, releasing expectations mm-hmm. and just, like, enjoying the experience for what it is. Because I think when you have those expectations of, like, it's going to go perfect and it's going to look like it is on Instagram and it's going to be so much fun and, like, and not that it won't be fun. But if you just can kind of release that and just enjoy it, that
this,
I bet.
Like, Instagram travel thing is wild to me.
Yeah. People are always on vacation.
Yeah. People will just go to a spot to take a photo. I'm going to Bali in May and I was looking at all these, like, Airbnb tours that are literally Instagram photo tour, and I'm like,
shut up.
I mean, great for the person that's monetizing off of that. Like, you go.
I think it's Bali, maybe it's somewhere else. One of my clients just went somewhere for his honeymoon, and he was saying that you can hire, like, a photographer that, like, follows you around, takes pictures with your phone for Instagram.
That is wild.
I'm like, what? And no, I mean, you know, no judgment if people want to spend their money that way, but I just
think that's crazy. That it has. I never want to, like, trash talk. Like travel Instagram because I mean I do it half the time, but like really go to a place because you want to go, not because you want to get a photo there. It's great if you get a good photo there.
Right.
Like, shout out to you. But listen, the amount of times that I'm traveling solo and I'll ask a stranger to take a photo and it'll be like me with a double chin, like half smiling with like hair across my face. I'm like, oh, that was good, but humbling at the same time. I'm like, I needed that. You're right. I was looking pretty vain there for a minute.
Is there, like, have you learned anything from being conned that makes you do things differently? Like, is it just been like, that's the luck of the draw. You interact with enough people and sometimes that happens. Or do you do anything differently now when you travel to be like safer, to like not avoid that happening or anything like that?
I definitely do my research more.
Yeah.
There's one specific place in Guatemala that everybody gets conned at. And I had heard before. And they're like, watch out. You're going to get conned. And I was like, okay. Like, I lived here for a year. I'll be fine. And then I got conned in that town. This taxi driver said he was like part of our tour bus company and was going to take us to the tour bus. And then we got out. He's like, by the way, you owe me $15. And I was
Shut up.
You said that you were part of our tour group. Like, what's going on here? And he was like, oh no, I meant I could take you to your tour group. And so it's really just like, before you go into a situation, set your guidelines, set your price. And be firm. I mean, don't be a jerk about it. I've seen so many tourists fighting with locals about a price over, like, a dollar. And it's like, listen, you can give that person that extra dollar without causing this scene. But I think, to an extent, like, stand your ground and set your guidelines before you go.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the taxi driver that says he's part of your tour group. See some ID.
Taxi driver's lying.
Yeah.
Do you ever have anxiety, or what do you tell other people that might have anxiety or nervousness about going somewhere and not being able to speak the language or not knowing if they're going to like the food? And and I think it's obvious, like, the type A in me is coming out with these questions. But I think that a lot of people probably worry about that stuff. Like, I want to go somewhere exotic, but I don't know all of these things.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever struggle with any of that? Or what do you tell people that struggle with that stuff?
I think before every trip, I always have a little nerves because you don't know what's going to happen when you walk out of those airport doors. That's like a whole new world. For women, my main travel tip is there's a group on Facebook. It's called Girls Love Travel. And I think there's like 250,000 members.
Girls Love Travel.
And there's people from all over the world. And you can search whatever your country that you're going to and get some info. And also, you can have contacts there. Like, I was in Jordan 2 years ago, and I knew nobody in Jordan, and I was traveling alone, and I remember I had saw this girl on Facebook that was from Jordan, and she lived there, and she was like, if anybody passes through, like, meet up with me, and so we went and got falafel that night, and she showed me so many different sides of her country
How
that I wouldn't,
neat.
Yeah, like, that I would have never seen, and we still talk, and now we're like, oh, right, like, if you end up here, I'll go visit you there, or vice versa. I've actually met a lot of girls off of online. Like, one of my best friends, she was doing the same route in the Middle East that I was. And I was, like, a week behind her. We never met each other. And then I went down to Belize, I think, like, 6 months after that. And she was in Mexico, and I was like, hey, like, how about you come meet us in Belize? And she did, and that's the first time we met. But just to be able to reach out to people, especially women, it's really important to have each other's backs when you travel, especially if you're solo. Like, just have some contacts in the area. Ask your friends. Post on Facebook. Be like, hey, I'm going here. Does anybody know anyone? It's always friends of friends that I've met while I travel. And it's the thing we were talking about before. The world gets smaller once you start seeing more of it.
Totally.
And everybody knows someone everywhere, I can promise you. Like, I will name some obscure country and they'll be like, oh, I got an uncle there. And you're like, cool. I'm going to go meet up with your uncle. And just being open to meeting new people, of course, keep yourself safe and don't put yourself in a risky situation. But I trust the good in people enough. A lot of the time when I travel, I'm like, this feels right. Trust your gut always. If it doesn't, get out of there. But women, join Girls Love Travel. You will meet the most incredible people from
that
across the world.
So cool.
Yeah, that's my biggest tip.
What a great idea to have a Facebook group like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of your anxieties can be alleviated if you know someone there. Like, whether it be food, you can ask a local about it and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Should I bring my own food? Especially if you have like a dietary restriction. Ask the locals and be like, hey, is there any options for this? Any like areas I shouldn't go to, etc. And get it from the local. Don't believe the media.
Yeah.
The media literally makes every place in the world sound so dangerous. And I'm like, that's where I felt the safest.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite stories or experiences from some of the places that you've been?
Oh, yes. Some of my favorites. They're always like little memories. I never have like a definitive story. But India was one of the places where every day was an adventure. And I spent 2 months just backpacking and cruising around and literally no itinerary. I rolled up with 1 week planned and then after that, nothing. No hostels booked, just a vague idea of the regions I wanted to go to. And so India, every day we'd wake up and be like, hey, I ended up traveling with another girl from Arizona. And we would just wake up in the morning and be like, hey, should we take a bus down to this town? Should we pop up to the Himalayas? Like, it was free. And so some of my favorite memories were definitely in India. I remember one day we had rented a scooter in this little tiny desert town called Pushkar. And it was me and my friend. We were cruising around and we ended up in these tiny villages, like in the desert mountains. And then we got stuck in a monsoon. And it was downpouring. We had to pull over. So we pulled over into this little like tin shed. And we look over. There's like 5 camels next to us. And we're just hanging out with these camels. Waiting for this monstrous rain to pass. And then we go again. And we come across this field of marigold flowers. And it had just rained.
Oh.
And there were peacocks walking around. We're like, peacocks. Did we just die? Is this heaven? Like, we're walking around. And we like met the farmer that was there and we just like hung out with him. We just like sat in a field of flowers for 2 hours and this town had so many stores of just journals, like beautifully handcrafted leather journals. And then we went there and spent like 3 hours shopping for journals. I sent a whole box of journals home back to the US. But it was just like a really magical day. And that was like one of the calmer ones. And then in Egypt, I went the first time with a friend who was from Iraq, and he showed me some of the most incredible places that I would have never been able to get into. So my first time in Egypt, he is a documentarian and he films documentaries, and he was really into like the music scene and the art scene and the cinema scene.
Yeah.
And so one day we had gone to, there's a famous bar called Cairo Jazz Club. Apparently, you have to be 25 to get in. I was definitely 20, and they were just like, yes, right this way. I was in sneakers and a Patagonia jacket. And so we go there. We end up running in to this famous producer from Egypt. And Egypt is like the Hollywood of the Middle East.
Sure.
And we were with another Iraqi girl, and she knew him. So then we became like this little group. And then when everybody starts drinking, they forget that I don't speak Arabic. So everybody is talking 100 miles a minute in Arabic. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm here for it. And then we all get in the car and we're going. And then we get to like this dark alley. And I still don't know what's going on.
And aren't you like terrified?
I was kind of along for the ride. Sorry, Mom. I was along
for
the ride. I'm alive. And then they're like, Ali, walk first. And I was like, this is how I die.
This is like, it. At least I went out having fun.
Yeah. And so I walk into, and like, they're like, okay, push that door. And there was a big black door and I pushed it and I open it and there's like a 7 foot tall bouncer in black tie. And I was like, where did we just walk into?
Yeah.
We were like in a dark alley. And then he looks at me. I look at him. We're both really confused. He's like, where did this little blonde girl come from? And I'm like, well, why is there a bouncer in a dark alley? And then the producer walks up behind us. And the bouncer recognizes the producer and is like, oh, come in, come in. And I open, there's another door. And the only way I can describe it was like, it looked like a Great Gatsby scene. It was like red leather.
Wow.
Everyone was in like these kind of old fashioned, like 50s dresses, even smoking cigarettes, like big hair. There was a champagne tower. People were dancing on tables. It was live jazz music. And I was just like, did I just walk into like the 1920s? Like, what's going
on here?
That's
amazing.
And it turns out that it was this party of like Arab movie stars. I didn't know any of them, but my friend was like, did you realize that you just danced with one of the most famous movie stars? And I was like, I didn't know that, but that's great. And I was still wearing Patagonia sweaters and sneakers the whole time. And then we like went to another friend's house that night and we stayed on the terrace watching the sunrise over the Nile. And it was just like one of the most magical, wild days of my life. And I look back on it, I'm like, how did I even end up here? Like, how did I end up in Egypt with a guy from Iraq? How did I end up in like this cinematic scene of Cairo with all these incredible young people? And then now I'm watching the sunrise over the Nile. Like, life just takes you to some wild places.
Well, and it's funny, I think that it takes you to wild places if you're open to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a big theme in like the experiences that you had. It's just, like you said, being along for the ride and being less like tied to an itinerary, tied to going to this, you know.
I think the people will always take you to the most interesting places. You can take yourself to all the museums that you want to, but get to know the locals and they'll take you to the best spots.
Yeah. I mean, Phoenix isn't even like, you know, that cultural, but whenever people drop into my CrossFit gym, like from other places, I'm like, let me tell you where to eat and where to go. And like, I want you to like eat the best food. Don't look on Yelp. Like, let me tell you, you know, so it's fun. I'm sure that other people probably think it's fun too.
Yeah. And you're so appreciative when you do meet somebody that's willing to tell you all these places that maybe next time you'll tell somebody that's visiting your town all these places. Like, I've learned how to be so much of a better host from all of my friends. Like, now I have friends and I'm like, okay, we're driving to the Grand Canyon. We're going to Antelope Canyon. Even though I was there last week, we're going to go again because you need to see this. And you just realize that you're going to make somebody's experience so much better if you just put in that little bit of effort and make yourself a tourist. It's so fun being a tourist in your hometown.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. I love that. I also, I wrote down that you have raced horses around the pyramid, pyramids. What else did I write down? That you walked through a bridge of monkeys in India. Uh-huh. And then I have to have you explain this story, that one of your best friends spent a night in Belizean jail.
He's going to kill me when he hears that I said this on a podcast. Yes.
This is when the pre-podcast research comes back to bite you.
Truly. So I was living in Guatemala all of last year doing a study abroad, and then I just ended up staying there because I loved it so much. But I went home for Christmas, and then I was going to go back for spring semester in January. I was looking at flights, and I found a Southwest flight to Belize, a one-way, for $100, and Belize and Guatemala border each other, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go to Belize first, and then I'll drop down to Guatemala and go back to school. So I called up one of my friends, whose mom is a flight attendant, because he gets free flights, and I was like, listen, we're going to Belize next week, and he was like, cool, I'll be there. I was like, oh, that was a hard sell.
I didn't even know Southwest flew there.
Yeah, they fly to a couple of Caribbean countries too. Southwest is great if you can find those cheap flights.
I love Southwest. Yeah. I like picking my own seat. That's why.
And all the bags. I'm like, do I need 4 bags? No. Am I going to bring them? Yes.
And it's not just the commercials. They really are friendlier, I think.
They truly are. They truly are.
Just pumping up Southwest. So go ahead.
Not sponsored. I wish. And so we ended up going to Belize. I met him in the airport. And we were going to stay on this teeny tiny little island called Kikalker. And there's no cars on this island. It's just a couple golf carts, not even that many golf carts. And we got there. It was amazing. The first day, it was just me and my friend. And then the next day, that girl I was telling you about who I met in Belize for the first time from Instagram, she came and met us there. And we had never met each other, but we just hit it off. It was like we had been best friends the whole night. Or our whole life. And then we had just met that night. And everyone was like, oh, like, how do you guys know each other? How long have you been friends? And we're like, oh, we met today off Instagram. but yeah, we all went out. The first night, there was actually a tsunami warning. And we had all been drinking rum, went on an island, as one does. And we were all a little too jolly that night. We didn't even notice that there was a tsunami warning. And we're all, like, dancing in this hostel, and everyone was moving up to the highest level. And we're like, what's everyone doing? They're like, did you not hear that half of the other hostels have gotten evacuated and that we're supposed to move to higher ground? And we're like, well, if we're going down, we're going down with a bottle of rum in our hand. And so that was our first night. And I was like, all right, this is good. Everything's great. We're having fun. Second night, I cannot hang like little 18-year-old Allie used to. Now I'm like one night, and then the next night I'm in bed by 10 p.m. No exceptions. And so that night we had all gone out again, and I wasn't drinking that night, so I was going to bed pretty early at like 10-ish. And then my friend Remy, who I'd met off the internet, they had stayed out and they were hanging out, and I was like, okay, well, I'll probably like meander to the hostel and go to bed. And I didn't see my friend, who I was traveling with. And I was like, oh, he has a tendency to drink too much and then go fall asleep in a hammock. That man loves a hammock. So I was like, he's probably passed out in a hammock somewhere. He'll be fine. So I go to bed, and then I wake up at like 2 and I'm like, oh, he's still not here. Like, where is he? And I was like, man, he's fine. And then he walks into the hostel room at 3 a.m. and was like, Allie, I need my passport. I was like, you need your what? And he was like, I need my passport. And I was like, why do you need your passport at 3 a.m.? And he goes, I got arrested. And I just sat up in bed. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, I gave you one job, and it was to stay out of trouble. And so it turns out that he and this other guy he had met had a great idea of hopping in this golf cart that was parked out front of the bar, because they were like, let's just go take a picture in it. Turns out it was the one police golf cart on the entire island. So they didn't even move the golf cart. I think it went like half an inch just from them moving it. Like, they didn't drive it anywhere. And of course, the police were like, oh, these tourists really just got on the golf cart. So naturally, they're like, come with us. So yeah, he spent a night in Belizean jail. I didn't even bail him out. I was like, listen, you got yourself into this. I need my sleep. I will get you out at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Luckily, the other two people we were with were nicer, bailed him out of jail, and then we got off that island the next morning. We're like, it's time to leave. Leaving. but yeah, that's how my friend spent a night in Belizean jail. Goodness. Lesson learned. Don't steal the police golf cart.
Don't get in any random golf carts that aren't yours. Please, do not. travel lessons with Allie. 101. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Well, there's so many cool stories, and I'm sure we could like talk about them forever. But are there any habits, routines, tools, I mean, aside from taking pictures, mm-hmm. things that you do regularly that either help you like stay grounded when you are home, or mm-hmm. that help you document these things so that you can like reflect back on them? Like, are there any kind of like regular rituals that you have?
Mm-hmm. When I'm home, I really try to find a routine, because I'm such a free bird that when I'm home, I get really restless and I realize that I need to keep myself busy. So I journal every morning. I have a little gratitude journal that I try to do every morning. And then I always try to like make a coffee and just sit there and not go on my phone. I love reading the news, so I'll read the news in the morning, or I'll call a friend, but I don't really want to see what everybody else is doing via social media for a minute. I just want it to kind of be my time. I always wake up really early. I was raised in a farming family, so early to bed, early to rise really stuck with me. But sometimes I'll go on walks. I love listening to podcasts in the morning, because I think it's cool to kind of start your day learning something.
Yeah.
Or hearing something. And yeah, I just make sure to give myself that time in the morning. I hate being rushed, so I'll wake up earlier if it means that I can have that time for myself every morning. And then I do try to do yoga every day just to kind of keep myself in that habit, or I'll take a walk. Even yesterday, I was feeling really antsy and I was in Tucson, so I decided to come up here early, and then like I just went and rode horses with my mom, and that was enough. Like, just to be able to get outside and recognize when I need to see some nature and make it happen, because in Tucson I live basically on university, so I can't really see nature. I can't see any mountains or any cactus, and then I know I need to leave. And yeah. Yeah, so just being in tune with yourself to know that you don't feel good at that moment, that you need to go do something to help yourself. Yesterday I was going to see some nature and I felt so much better when I did. And just taking that time for yourself in the morning, I think, is really important. At night, I go to bed at like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
So I'm just out. But in the morning, that's like my time to be productive, to get things done. I love journaling. I love to read even in the mornings. Yeah. And just that ritual coffee.
Right. Yeah. Coffee is a must. Oh, and then everything else. You just build around it.
Truly.
That's awesome. I was chatting with one of my friends not too long ago, and she's actually a life coach like for women. Uh-huh. And she was asking me, what kind of, like, on the days where you feel the most joy or that you feel most relaxed or the days you feel most present, like, what are the things that you're doing? And then she was like, and on the days that you're feeling antsy, you're feeling stressed, mm-hmm. you're feeling overwhelmed, what are the things that you're doing? And it was a super cool, and we like wrote it down and made a list, and it was a super cool way to identify, like, wow, on the days I'm relaxed, like, I'm outside more, mm-hmm. I'm taking pictures, I'm with friends, I'm drinking really good coffee, like, mm-hmm. and it's cool to do that exercise because I'm like, wow, I can build those things yeah. into my day, into my week, even yeah. if it's just in really small portions so that I don't get to that other side, you know? And then you yeah. look at the other side where you're like, okay, what am I doing on the days that I am feeling overwhelmed or stressed? And a lot of times it's the stuff that you're doing all the time,
yeah.
which is part of being an adult. Sometimes you got to do things that you don't want to do, but if you can sprinkle in some of those fun things.
Yeah. Like, I work all online. I'm a marketing intern for a Silicon Valley company, and then my school is all online, and then photos are online. So when I'm staring at a screen,
you're like, ooh.
For 10 hours a day, I'm like, I got to get outside.
Yeah. And sunshine.
Yeah. And then I'll like call a friend and be like, listen, I don't know what you're doing, but we need to drive up Mount Lemon right now. Like yesterday, I was trying to get one of my friends to. They're like, you realize I'm in class? And I was like, all right, looks like I'm going to Scottsdale then. Yeah. And I think that's a really cool thing that you can build, per se, happiness.
Yeah.
Recognizing what makes you feel good and what makes you feel comfortable and calm, and being able to create and do those things, like a good cup of coffee, like you said. Like, if I just go sit at a cafe, mm-hmm. even if I still have to work, if I just change my environment instead of working in my house,
yeah,
you feel so much better. You're like, oh, people, I'm better now.
Totally. One of my clients is a teacher, and she has kids and just a very mm-hmm. busy go, go, go life. And so over spring break, she went to Hawaii, and we were talking on our last check-in, and she was like, I know I can't go back to Hawaii all the time, but man, like, I really need like that level of relaxation. And I'm like, what if we like could find things that you loved about Hawaii? And I know it's not gonna be the same, but it's like, if we could build in like fresh fruit meals and like getting sunshine and being near natural water, like, there, it's not going to be the same as going to Hawaii, but it is going to add to your quality of life in a very similar mm-hmm. way, especially if you're doing it in little pieces consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just like, one thing I've learned from traveling is I like to take pieces back from every country, essentially. And like, I've just lately, I've been recognizing the importance of community from all of these countries, because in Istanbul, when I was in Turkey, everybody, like, there was this friend group of like 20 people, and consistently 5 times a night, they were all in a tiny apartment, like passing around a bottle of red wine and just sitting and talking, no phones.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I create that in my own life to be able to go home and just have my friends around me? And I mean, it's hard when you have so many real life things going
sure.
on. But just making that effort to reach out to your friends and be like, hey, do you want to come over? Like, I have a tiny one bedroom, teeny tiny studio. But like Valentine's Day, I had all of my girlfriends over, and I was like, listen, we're going to eat strawberries and we're going to drink champagne, and I just want to love on you guys.
I'm
like,
don't get your phones out.
Yeah, I'm just always trying to get my friends. I'm like always wrangling them. I'm like, come here, let me love you. And so it's just like taking little pieces of what you love. I think that's a really beautiful thing. You don't have to be in that place per se.
Yeah.
But try to recreate it the best you can.
Do you collect anything?
Oh, I used to do postcards.
Cute.
And then I realized that I don't really have room.
Yeah.
I don't, like, I move around too much.
Pictures is a great way to collect things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else I do. I would say pictures are my main thing.
Yeah.
I do love perfume. Sometimes I buy perfume, oh, like, teeny
cool.
tiny little bottles.
From different places?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, I think that there's some really cool, like, oils and different things that yeah. you can find. And then I do love buying, like, if there's coffee or there's tea in a country.
Totally.
Something that I can use and, like, get it out of my home. I can't just have something sitting there. I used to buy house goods, and then I realized I don't have a house. So that was fun.
That's like we were shooting the video, and I was like, you strike me as a minimalist. And you're like, good observation.
Because I can't own anything.
What are you really excited about right now?
Ooh, I'm excited about graduating and just getting my life started. I loved school. I had a very unconventional college experience, but I've never in my life had nothing planned. Like when I graduated high school, I had college planned, but now I'm getting to that point where I'm like, the world is truly my oyster right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I graduate in May, and then the only thing I have planned is I'll be working in the Dominican Republic for 3 months, doing like immersive tours for U.S. high school students and basically just kind of showing high schoolers other cultures and that there's a world outside of the U.S., which I'm super keen on. I'm really excited to be able to just kind of help shape young minds and to be more open-minded and really experience the culture for what it is and appreciate the difference and diversity. And then after that, I have no plans. So I might go back to Guatemala and live down there for a while or travel. And it's just a really exciting thing to know that whatever I do next is fully my own decision. There's no external influences. Granted, I'll need to make a dollar every now and then to keep living. But just the freedom that's coming up is so exciting to me. I won't be in a 9-to-5, I won't be going to school, and I can do anything, and I can see anyone I want, and I'm so excited about that. I'm excited about freedom.
Yeah. Well, and photography and videography is such a, mm-hmm. I mean, you can do that anywhere.
Yeah. It's amazing. I've been really lucky to work with different little businesses in different countries. Like in Guatemala, I worked with a lot of little brands that worked really closely with artisans in little communities, and just being able to kind of prop up and support women. I studied human rights in college, and I'm really fascinated with women empowerment and kind of global scaling of women's rights. So to be able to help these tiny communities that need an international platform and voice and to be able to create content for that was really cool. So all I need is my camera and a laptop, and that's so invigorating and so liberating.
Yeah, yeah. That is so cool. Before I get into my final question, where can people connect with you on social media or keep in touch or see what you're going to be up to here pretty soon?
Yeah, so my photography videography account is Ali Jordy Creative, J-O-R-D-E. And then my personal account where I post more of like my travel stuff is gypsy_drifting. And then I'm working on my website right now, but it will be alijordycreative.com. It should be up within a month. Fingers crossed. We'll see if time allows.
That's awesome. What do you believe are the ingredients of a fulfilling life?
Oh, of a fulfilling life. Definitely, my first and foremost is community. You need people around you that are going to push you and make you think differently and experience the world through a different lens, and to be able to look at someone that's so different from you and find something that connects you, even if it's just the basis of being human. I think community is the most important, and that includes family and friends. And just have your cup run over with love. You need to have people that care about your well-being and have the best intentions out for you and lift you up. Because if you don't have people around you that are going to help you in a tight spot or celebrate your victories, what do you have, essentially?
Absolutely. That's so good. Thank you for being here, Ali.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Before you head out, just a few quick things. First, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, post a screenshot on social media, and tag me so I can thank you. And then take just a quick second to leave a review in your podcast app. If you have suggestions for the show, whether it's a guest or a topic, please let me know over at heypresley.com/podcast or find me on Instagram at heypresley. Lastly, don't forget to subscribe so your phone gives you a sweet little reminder every time I post a new episode. Thank you again for tuning in, and until next time, continue living your healthiest, happiest life. This podcast is brought to you by Hey Presley Nutrition, a practical, sustainable approach to reaching your goals. For more information and a discount on your first month, head over to heypresley.com and enter podcast as your promo code.